All right, where are you? We're back.
Sup?
It's Friday.
Sodded.
We got a show.
Sodded.
Don't you dare.
Sodded.
Carne asada.
And
carne asada.
Sodded. Lucky number 7.
We are 20 seconds into the show and have a headache already.
Good. You got some medicine right there.
I do. All right, so it's time to end the week like we normally do here with the RTFM show. It stands for Read the Freaking Manual, and we got some topics today that are going to be interesting. I think it's going to be very polarizing. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are on very opposite ends of the fence, not just between us three.
This will be good.
But between the listeners. But we got to kick it off like we normally do. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Golden Road Brewery Mango Cart, spicy Mango Cart.
It has so many words.
I don't even know what that is. Like,
it's
still
a mango wheat ale that's has like the chili, like a spicy mango.
Oh, that actually sounds really good.
Phil is just drinking water.
Yeah,
he's recovering from his DNA mutation.
I'm almost 5G compatible. But yeah, and it's a little cold in here right now.
It is a little chilly, but that's because we get usually hot because we're drinking.
Yeah.
Except you're going to stay cold this time.
Yeah,
and I'm still finishing off the Elijah Craig with the. The ASMR.
Oh, I had to crack mine.
Cork. You ready?
So good. Nice. It's so good.
Drinking it out of my CIA We Don't Spy on Nobody cup. Yeah, I poured a lot, didn't I?
This is going to be a good podcast, guys.
Whoopsies.
Cheers.
Cheers to Friday.
Cheers.
Oh, man. For a second, I thought you were just going to chug it.
No. I want to be able to get through the first topic.
Yeah, you just gotta get through your topic, and then after that, this is all
cruise control.
Yeah.
A little bit of housekeeping here, guys. We did finally launch the Size Matters merch. I'm actually wearing the white hoodie. A lot of people were like, "Give me some white shirts and white hoodies." Well, there you got them.
You should show them.
No, I don't want to stand up and turn around. I'm tethered.
Yeah, like you're jacked into the matrix.
Yeah, he's already
right
plugged in matrix.
Yeah, you can't just unjack.
You can't just.
So they.
Well, if you jack. On.
No. Oh, good.
What's the opposite?
Where's the equalizers? We're going to need them today. Okay, so.
You want them?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
The new design.
Just throw them at each other.
The new design is live on jays2cents.com. If it's anything like our first ones, they'll sell out quick. We ended up doing two rounds of what? We're just going to throw them at each other?
I don't know.
Okay. So we ended up doing two rounds of merch on the first one. This is first come, first serve. When it's gone, it's gone. So if you want it, go and get it. My Twitter followers got a day early access yesterday. And they're like, it's not fair. Well, you should be following on Twitter. It's free. And it's another place for you to go and yell at me. So that's fine. You're wearing the Jays 2 Cents zip-up hoodie, which is a full-time item. That's not one of the seasonal ones. Yeah, see, that's how strong the zipper is. You almost chopped your
cord.
I got the t-shirt.
And then you're wearing the
original
design there. Yeah.
Don't show Jay. Show the camera. He's all, I got the t-shirt. He's all hiding.
I think he's blocking it with the mic. Oh. Look, there you go.
Ah, wait. Oh, that's the wrong hand. Everything's flipped.
Yes, Nick. That's how lines work.
Well, it's because it's not mirrored like a mirror would be. So, yeah, we're definitely shilling for the brand today.
It's not shilling if it's for yourself, right?
Is it shilling if you're paying yourself?
As long as it's one shilling.
Oh.
How about the 3 shillings and we stop asking in the name?
Wait, what?
No, what was it? It was from Pirates of the Caribbean. Excuse me, it's 3 shillings. It's a shilling to park your boat here.
Yeah.
What do you say to 3 shillings and we forget the name?
Jeez.
Very well, Mr. Smith. Everyone was a Smith. If you didn't have a proper family name, it's just, you're Smith.
Right, because it's like, because you could be like, you know, an Iron Smith or a Steel Smith or something, but then it just makes sense that would just be the generic name, because it's like, yeah, he just works on stuff.
They
whatever.
Didn't have steel back then, did they? Oh, yeah, I guess they did, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, they did, because that's how swords were made, right?
Yeah, you're right. They probably didn't have enough of it to make, like, boats.
I mean, I doubt it was, like, I don't know how they figured out the carbon content way back then, but...
Wait, what were cannon? Were cannons iron?
I believe cannon balls were just big... balls of iron. Yeah, my big balls of iron.
Big balls of iron.
Ready to get this show started.
I've got balls of iron.
Yeah. Speaking of balls of iron, Nick, why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
Balls of lithium.
Well, since, you know, electric vehicles are trending more and more and more, I was thinking, what would happen if we assimilated? What would be kind of like your first vehicle to look at if you were to go EV?
Roadster? I mean, if I could pick any EV in the world, 1.10 to 60 sounds kind of fun.
You could probably just go Tesla and then go large, medium, small to us, because I'd get a Model 3, and then Nick could just aim for a Model S. That was an easy question.
No, I want a Model X with Roadster performance.
Oh my God, that would be ridiculous. Why? Looking. That would be sick.
The kids are late for school.
Yeah, now they're not. Now they're early.
You know what impresses me most, though, about like EV performance? It's like everyone's used to the whole power to weight ratio thing, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like the heavier the vehicle, the better the traction.
Right.
So it's the fact that it can be 5,800 pounds and still do a stupid acceleration rate because the tires are just being shoved into the ground.
And it looks that much funnier from the outside because it's like you don't expect that large and heavy of an object to move that quickly.
Like every Tesla video is usually no noise and just everyone and everything flopping around the cabin.
Yeah, like people's phones hitting themselves in the face and stuff.
I don't know. Would you want an EV for performance or would you want one for like everyday use? Because those are going to be two very different types of EVs.
I think I would use everyday use kind of EV, and I'd kind of keep like my gasoline car as like the bootleg vehicle.
I mean, I guess it makes sense for you because you don't really ever travel very far.
Yeah.
Because the biggest issue for me with EV to this day is still range.
Right, yeah, true.
But I mean, 300 miles is like pretty much a regular car at this point. Like a regular car goes, what, 400 miles?
Yeah, but at the end of that 300 miles, I can spend about 3 minutes refueling and be on the road again.
So it's not really the range. It's just the slow, it's the speed of recharging.
So a couple weekends ago, my wife and I went to Vegas and we stopped in Baker because we usually stop there and go to the bathroom and get a snack or a drink or something. Mm-hmm. And we stopped, I think it was a Jersey Mike's or something there at one of the like travel centers. And it's right next to where all the Tesla stations are.
Yeah.
And it's just like, seeing every Tesla or every charger, or those are superchargers there, I believe. Yeah. Every charger there have a car and then a line. I'm like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
So I mean, not only are you waiting the 45 minutes or whatever it is to get an 80% charge out of a supercharger, you have to wait in line for everyone else's 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That was like Button Willow that one time when all the Teslas came out.
Oh, yeah, because everyone raced on the track and then raced to the charger. You would see guys pull off a lap or two early.
Yeah, to get there.
I mean, all of us have a taste at like the energy density of batteries because we all fly drones, right? And it's like, you know, imagine if we had to line up to use one charger here, we would all be annoyed.
We almost sort of are, though.
Yeah, but luckily we all have enough batteries. And I think that's the solution, is that we can swap our batteries.
Yeah.
And like, I remember Tesla kind of sort of talking or like throwing that idea around where you would drive into a station and then it was like an automated battery swap thing.
Yeah, I think they ditched that a long time ago. It's like the idea of swapping your propane tank, right?
Yeah.
And that makes me mad because I had to go pick up propane tanks the other day for the gas heater things we have in the backyard. And then I paid for it and then they gave me the tank and I got it back and it's leaking because the O-ring is all cracked and dried out inside. So now it's like I gotta go all the way back and I gotta deal with like their maintenance problem, right? So imagine you have a high quality battery because you have a new vehicle.
Yeah.
And you get someone else's like depleted, you know, it's old and starting to decay, you know, and your range is down because of it.
Yeah.
But you're still paying for that battery swap.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that was some of the early EV stuff that Disneyland was even showing that technology back in Innovations.
Yeah.
When that was still a thing.
Charging was way slower back then too.
Yeah. They showed that Honda that had the whole rear end that would come out and they would take it for service and they could just give you another one in your car.
Yeah, you're
in the
right. Like, you know, you pump some gas in your tank. It's not like this 14 gallons is going to be any different from the last 14 gallons that you put into it.
The only difference between fuel these days and the octane content is the detergents that are in there for like valve cleaning and stuff.
What soap do you want in your gas? Basically, that's all it is.
Yeah.
You want Tecron soap? You want top tier Arco soap? Or you want Shell soap? That's pretty much all it is.
Chevron Tecron.
You want Tecron? Remember, you got V-Power and Tecron. V-Power, so you can get your VTEC gas.
V-Tech.
Half a tank of VTEC.
VTEC Poweron.
Or V-Power. And then a half a tank of Tecron. So you get your VTEC.
Dude, double soap. My valves are so clean.
Yeah, it'll be super
None
clean.
Of that matters in my car because it's direct injected. So the valves aren't getting clean. They're just getting buildup.
Oh, isn't that a problem for direct injected cars now?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a problem, and it's something that there. So basically, what you do is, and it's probably due in my car now, especially since I run ethanol. There's like an IV bag that they'll tap into the intake. No, I'm serious. They'll hang it from the hood.
It's seafoam, right?
Seafoam.
But it just basically atomizes as the car is just idling.
So instead of doing it as you drive, it basically it's a service. It's a scheduled service thing that you have to do.
Yeah. How effective it is, I don't know. I mean, I've got that borescope now. I should stick it down in the motor and look at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be a great way.
Yeah.
don't know, like, apart from Tesla, I've been looking at other companies like the Nikola Badger. That was kind of cool.
Oh, I've not. Okay, I've heard about the Nikola company because of the whole Nikola Tesla feud thing, right? Yeah. How Tesla stole Nikola's.
Can we be
stuff,
more original with names? Like, okay, they took his last name, so we're going to name our car company his first
name.
Wait,
wasn't it Edison that screwed Tesla?
Yes.
Or, yes. Yeah.
Wait, yeah.
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 Science.
But we don't have an Edison car.
We have an electric
Imagine
company.
How much we get charged for it. Thanks
Jeez,
so
you're right.
Well, Edison.
They'd be like, yeah, you would just charge you by the mile.
Our, dude, 23 cents a kilowatt, like, to start with, is like our freaking prices.
Well, you know what the top, you know what the highest tier of electricity cost is here right now, right?
It's like 50 cents a kilowatt hour,
it's
right?
It's like 48.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. It doesn't matter. I've got 24 solar panels.
Yeah, you're good.
That are going to be selling it back to Edison at 63 cents a kilowatt hour between the hours of 2 and 8. And I live in SoCal, so that's bank, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. And you live, like, up the hill, so, like, it's...
And all of my panels face east, south, and west, so I've got the most...
Wait, yeah, you have omni panels, basically?
Yeah, you're going to see my peak efficiency hit earlier in the morning and stay later into the evening.
Yeah, I remember I've had you, like, you came to work and you're like, hey, we used negative kilowatts today.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
What? Well, the way it works... I didn't actually realize this. I always thought, like, oh, I'm just whatever power in on demand that the solar panels can provide, the house will use. And anything above that, Edison just sends us from the grid, right? But that's actually not the way it works. Yeah, all power goes to Edison.
Yeah.
And that's all metered and measured. And then we buy the power back from Edison. But the thing is, we sell it to Edison for 63 cents a kilowatt hour, flat rate from 2 to 8.
That's
16
really
before
good.
That and 16 after that. But 63 during the highest part of the day. And then we buy it back from Edison at
your rate. Yeah,
I think it's 23.
Yeah, it starts at 23 and then it's like 30 something and then 40.
So that's a 40 cents per kilowatt hour profit.
Yeah.
That's why we added like 14 more panels.
Yeah, dude, that's like the glitch in Cyberpunk where you could sell that painting for like $8,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For $5. Yeah. And you could just like build your money that way.
Best trade deal ever.
So I'm not opposed to the idea of EV. I definitely am I'm a petrol head or whatever they would call it back mm-hmm. there in England. But I mean, I think we call it gearhead here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gas head would be weird.
Yeah.
Gas head.
I got a gas bottom, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
I know. Yeah.
All of us do.
No. It's just for me, it's the smell, it's the sound. It's the vibrations. No,
it's the feedback it gives.
It's like that. It's like that scene in Talladega Nights. She's like, I like when those cars go by. Yeah. But anyway,
and there's something about having like a suboptimal thing that you're wrangling to get the most performance you can out of it. Because obviously, like a direct drive electric motor is the most efficient way to get a tire to move, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But the idea of having to have a gearbox and everything and like making all these compromises just to get this thing to work and then throwing that around a track for you or just driving around and rowing your own gears is just, it is fun. It's super fun and rewarding just to feel.
Yeah, I like cars of all types, though. I'm not anti EV.
Yeah.
I'm not. In fact, my friend Matt took me for a ride in his Bolt. Or, yeah, EV Bolt.
Yeah, yeah,
the,
yeah.
The small Chevy, right?
Yeah.
And it was really kind of surprising
right?
how, like, quick it is.
Because it's all that low-end torque, but even though it only makes, what, 110?
Well, and it's front-wheel drive, so he's going around the corner like... And it's like, dude, it's a Bolt with no sound, and all you hear is... on the tires.
It has, like, 115 horsepower, but it's, like, what, like, 300 foot-pounds of torque down low or some crazy crap like that, because, yeah.
It was just, it's just weird to hear the pedal go, clunk, and you're just like...
Yeah.
It's like, okay...
Yeah, no, it would definitely be a commuter car for me, too. My fun car would still have to be a gas car. And like, I mean, it's not really a performance car for me. That's why I just call it a fun car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fun to own and that sort of stuff.
But so like, as the tech is progressing, though, you're getting things like, okay, whether or not you think it's ugly, you get things like the Mustang Mach-E.
Yeah.
Right? You get these. They even have... Doesn't Ken Block have an electric version of that? That's like stupid crazy.
Probably.
Yeah, and the thing sounds louder than any gas engine with the whiny sounds it makes. Because at that point, it's just performance, right?
And then yeah, if you're gonna involve a gearbox to help mitigate that top end power loss that you get, yeah, then you're gonna probably run straight gears because why not?
What it will take for me to be 100% in on EV is it's got to have like the raw performance that my ZL1 provides me, but it's also got to give me the range. And some sort of a you're back on the road quickly function.
Yeah.
And no, 45 minutes at a supercharger is not quickly. I'm sorry. So that's what it's really that the refueling part.
Like 45 minutes is like doable, but we don't want doable. We want like it to be as easily and
well, even then it's not a full charge at 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Just like any other lipo, you can't fast charge it to 100%.
Well, I also think
we could overcharge.
I mean, yeah.
I do believe
there's DRL racers that'll do it and then it catches fire.
But I do believe there's degradation of yes. doing that consistently.
Well, yeah. No, that's why the fast charge stops at 80 because
and unless I get a supercharger or a fast charger installed at the house, if I'm doing a 120 volt charger, it's not going to charge all night. Will not be a full charge.
Yeah, you only get like no. Yeah, my buddy gets like 60 miles of range overnight.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but for somebody whose commute is less than 60 miles daily, then that's fine because you're just trickle charging and making up your stuff back.
That's not mine. I'm one of those guys that still goes, I'm bored, I'm going to go for a drive, and I do 200 miles.
Because
we decide to go up backside Big Bear at 12 a.m., we're like 95 miles in the mountains.
And then you're romping on it up a hill, which is going to obviously, like, you know, that's not going to be 300 miles anymore. That's going to be 120 miles.
Yeah.
Worth. Yeah. So... Yeah, lipos are getting there, but they're not, you know what I mean? They're not there yet. So I think that's why supercapacitors were kind of a thing that people were throwing around, because a supercap doesn't care how fast you put power into it.
I think the thing that bugs me most about everyone's like obsession with EV and the environment is they're completely ignoring the fact of what the production of EV vehicles and the batteries is actually doing to the environment.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's another goal, long-term goal, is that we need to have the electricity pipeline be completely clean.
I'm going to say this right now, and I hope this offends someone in the chat. I really hope it does.
Of course.
If you're the kind of person that's like, EVs are great, think of the environment, but you're also like, cryptocurrency's awful because of the environment, you're a hypocrite. Because it's the same type of load on the infrastructure. If you imagine how many cars in California alone, if they were all suddenly electric and they're all plugged in, where's that power coming from? Does it matter if it's charging a car or if it's running a cryptocurrency farm? No, it doesn't matter. Power is power. And you still have to generate that power, whether it's through coal burning and, okay, but clean, sustainable energy. Yes, but we're not there yet either.
And it's also, like, I haven't done enough research to have, you know, a definitive opinion on this, but I've heard a lot of things about, like, the mining of the raw materials for the battery manufacturing is also very, like, not environmentally friendly.
No,
it's all lithium and cobalt.
It's absolutely not environmentally friendly.
Yeah, so... So that's another thing to talk about. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, it's more efficient.
We're playing as humans. We're playing whack-a-mole with the pollution.
Yeah.
Carbon out of cars is bad. Whack.
But
and then it pops up over here because now you've got manufacturing.
But the counterpoint to that though is that a coal-fired electricity plant is far more efficient at making energy out of coal than a gasoline car is at making energy out of gas. As far as like emissions go.
Yeah, but no, has anybody done the calculations on the actual full scale up? We know how many cars are in the state of California alone. Can we actually now do the math and determine?
Oh, like as if they all went electric.
We do not have
the capacity.
The capacity now to generate the power we would need just to power those cars.
Yeah, like if every car had a supercharger or something, right? And then you would be like.
Right. And the way it works in the state of California, and this is only because I used to work for an energy efficiency company, when it comes to the public utilities commissions, when the power companies, whether it be Edison, PG&E, San Diego Power, you know, LADWP, whatever, there's a ton of them in the state of California, mm-hmm. right? You have your major ones, which are like Edison and PG&E, though. They go to the utilities commissions, and they're regulated. They are regulated. They are not allowed to raise your rates and stuff without approval. And they give a rate increase schedule as well. They'll present it to the PUC and be like, here's the demand, here's our output. Here's what we're recommending in terms of price increases. Because just like any other sort of inflation, so does the cost of energy. And it inflates and has a scheduled rate increase. We're about to have another one actually next year.
Yay.
So happens is then they'll go, can we build new power plants? And what happens is the Public Utilities Commission will say, you need to put aside programs and generate programs. And this is the company that we used to write the software that managed these programs. That's how I know this type of bureaucracy. You need to shrink the demand, not grow to meet it. So the PUC for the last 20 years, back to the Gray Davis brownout era, has put this policy into effect back in the early 90s that says you must shrink demand. So that's why you started seeing T12 fluorescents turn into T8 fluorescents, turn into LED tubes, because they're increasingly going for the low-hanging fruit to easily reduce the demand by, like, how many millions of fluorescent tubes were there in L.A. alone, right?
Yeah, which, I mean, isn't a bad thing because that right. helps everyone, though.
But once they've shown that they've spent the amount of time and money, because what happens, too, is these programs, although they'll go to the businesses and they'll go to the homes and give rebates and they'll give free upgrades, it's not free. They paid for it on their bill.
Or they do the thing where they can remotely shut off your AC compressor and stuff during peak loads.
And and that's specifically for residential.
You have to opt in for that, though.
Yeah, but, I know. But I used to live in a place where it was opt-in and it was really annoying.
But the thing is, they have to meet a certain goal, certain reduction, right? What's happening now is they're finding that the increase in electric vehicles alone has basically undone the gains that we've made from the last 20
years. Energy-efficient light fixtures and everything and all that
right.
sort of stuff.
Because the EVs and stuff are pulling way more amps and way more watts than what they were saving. And so we're back into this deficit again.
Because high amperage stuff, you end up wasting a lot of that electricity due to heat.
Right.
The circuitry and all that sort of stuff.
So now they're looking at building more power plants in the state of California. And considering, I think we just had a nuclear plant go offline within the last couple of years as well. But,
oh, wow. That's a big loss.
Yeah. And so
those are really efficient, like, at making power.
Right. But everyone's afraid of nuclear power plants,
right? I mean,
there's
like a big 50-50 of whether or not that's environmentally friendly. I kind of stand on the point where it is environmentally friendly because the only thing they output is steam.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, the nuclear waste obviously is a problem eventually, but what I mean? Like,
But how many diesel tractors are out there mining the coal?
Yeah.
So there's a massive spiderweb effect that you have to investigate, and all the way down to what is the full cost of that kilowatt?
Yeah.
Right? When it comes to electric vehicles. And this is for everything power, but electric vehicles specifically. That's why solar initiative is important. Starting in 2019, every new home in California had to have at least 30% solar offset on their home.
Which is why I mentioned, like, the whole pipeline, right? Like, we're not going to be clean energy until, like, literally from start to finish, it's either solar, wind, like, arguably nuclear, some other crazy fusion, whatever, happens in the future. But, yeah, as long as we're still coal at the start of something in that electricity pipeline, it's not clean yet.
And then, and they're good. I'm not fighting against clean energy. Not at all.
Of course.
But we're not ready to go purely clean energy. Or sustainable, because the deep freeze that happened in Texas alone showed how quickly an infrastructure of power can collapse when it's not designed for a specific. Texas is not used to getting covered in snow and ice.
And
you can see how quick, like, people in Toronto are like, you guys suck. Texas. Yeah. Let's take the Texas heat and throw it up in Toronto and watch what happens. Right. Yeah. You'll get the overheating of power plants.
Yeah. Imagine if everyone in Toronto turned on their air conditioner at the same time. I'm pretty sure their power supply.
Well, that's what happens in California. That's why you get the flex alerts. But anyway, talking about regulation and power plants and stuff like that, I want to talk about the current situation regarding cryptocurrencies. So I did my video that went out yesterday, and of course it was very mixed opinion on that. I'm fine with it. I'm fine. I'm really not.
I mean, crypto itself is obviously going to strike a mixed
and I'm not the least bit worried about someone's opinion about my opinion. That's a wasted energy.
Energy. Hey, you gotta be more efficient.
Be more. Okay, fine.
That's why you're not worried.
Fine. I'm never reading a comment again. That's the most efficient I could get. We all know it's never going to happen.
Exactly. I gotta pay the carbon tax for my Tesla, so I'm never reading a comment.
So you dabble in mining a little bit here and there with your cards and stuff, right?
Every once in a while. Or like back in the day, I was mining on like a 10 series card for a little bit. And
did you ever see profit on it?
I mean, if you're not paying for electricity, it's all profit. Technically.
Okay.
No, but I did make enough profit even counting the electricity to buy.
He wasn't stealing it, by the way. He just paid a flat rate to his roommate and he didn't have to pay for the overage. I want to clarify that.
But like,
because sounded like you ran an extension cord to your neighbor.
There's an idea. No. Yeah, you find your neighbor with solar and then. But no, I mean, I basically made enough money to buy myself a couple games on Steam, and I was just like, all right, this isn't worth my room being 10 million degrees.
Yeah.
And then I stopped. That was pretty much the extent of my mining. So
I've read a lot of the comments on that video and the response on Twitter and stuff. And some guys with like 2 3080s or whatever were saying they're making like $300 a month. That's a good supplemental income for many
people.
And
since it's ETH now instead of Bitcoin, because Bitcoin back then was like you said in the video, it was loading the core and the RAM.
Right.
Where ETH is mostly RAM.
Mostly RAM, yeah.
Yeah, so like the heat generation on ETH, it's a lot more efficient per watt.
Especially since you're undervolting and everything on the GPU.
Yeah, exactly. Because back then, you did undervolt just to get the efficiency. You kind of found the sweet spot of the efficiency of how many watts are you burning versus how much Bitcoin you're making.
I feel like there's a little bit of clarification that I need to say regarding that video, though. I never had a problem with, Joe Random in taking his gaming computers or whatever and
like,
mining.
So like mining on the side, basically.
That was
right?
kind of the way. That was like the grassroots of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. That's exactly what I was doing.
I have a problem with these Russian, these Chinese, these American firms that are filling like that. Warehouses like ours full of hundreds, if not thousands, of graphics cards that they're getting through who knows what means. We showed that picture of PNY. How'd that guy get that many PNY cards? How can PNY say we didn't sell those to them direct?
This emoji.
Bold liars. Bold-faced liars, first of all. But second of all, it's those guys that are going out there and one, just adding strain to an already strained industry in terms of availability, especially during this SoC shortage time.
Yeah.
But two, they're the ones that are going out there and making it really difficult for the guys with the small rigs at home to make any sort of money because, right, you got more people and more rigs mining, you have less coins to go around, right? So, well, I guess the same amount of coins. It's just there's more people doing it, and your likelihood of having computational power to really reward you versus theirs is obviously...
What's supply and demand on the other side? You mean, obviously, if the marketplace has a lot of mining power, then your mining power, means less to the overall thing, so you're going to get paid less for that, and vice versa. So,
but my comment regarding like I don't care, I don't feel bad for people losing money, are those that would actually take real money and buy Bitcoin with it.
Yeah, investing versus mining. Yeah,
investing in it,
quote
to me was
giant air quotes.
Yes, to me that's stupid.
That's gambling.
I don't care if you don't agree with me. Any one of you, don't even bother adding me. I don't care. I really don't care what you think. But to go into something as volatile as that, there's the history of the volatility of cryptocurrency is now been going back since like what 2014, 2015.
It'd probably be less volatile to go throw that same money at blackjack in freaking Vegas.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, seriously,
and you'd probably have more time, a better time watching it burn in a fire. Okay, but to willingly take tens of thousands, if not more, of your dollars and invest it in that, watch it tank because Elon Musk can be an idiot.
Just
the IRS is suddenly going, we need to regulate and track this sort of stuff. And I want to talk about that in a second, too.
Yeah, a lot of people found out about what capital gains tax means.
Well, a lot of people also, too, are ignorant and going, yeah, but just don't tell them. It's like, oh, okay, let's talk about that for a second.
Tax evasion, there you go.
But I don't feel bad for anyone that took big money and is now freaking out at the bubble bursting right now. And the bubble's bursting. It's going to grow again. It's going to pop again. It's going to grow again. It's going to pop again. Yeah. It's going to have the same effects as the stock market as long as people are still mining it. What's irritating me about the people that are like, well, the government shouldn't regulate this, blah, blah, blah. One of the reasons why the government is going to regulate it is what the government does, what the government does. The government wants its piece of any transaction that happens. It sucks. I hate it. I feel I'm overtaxed versus many other people. We've talked about this. I think the government, for many things, should just butt the hell out. I'm one of those people. But at the same time, cryptocurrency has also been known to fund crime. It's been known as payment for crime. It's also been known as money laundering methods.
Because it's essentially like cash. Like, it's really not.
Yeah, and you know, it could be a pile of rags. If you can buy stuff with it, it's currency, right?
Because there's nothing that links somebody's identity to a wallet, like the wallet, like ID or the hash.
At the moment, that's probably going to change with the IRS wanting to regulate it now. Because the other response I heard people saying, you know, very ignorantly is like, well, then just don't report it to the IRS. How stupid would you be? Look, somebody's converting that cryptocurrency into cash. And usually those are blockchains and other companies that are legitimate. And the last thing they're going to do is going to screw themselves by not reporting the payments they're making because they're going to write them off too. So you have to have a social security number or whatever sort of identifier, depending on where you live, so that you are taxed on it. So what's going to suddenly happen is anything that's sitting in your wallets now, and trust me right now, the administration is currently after every bit of that money that's sitting there, billions of dollars. They want their piece of it. If you don't cash out now, you're not going to be able to without being taxed on it in the near future. So if you have money sitting in a wallet somewhere, I would cash it out if I were you. That's not financial advice. If it were me, I'd be like, I want every penny out of the wallet before I'm taxed on it. Because right now you're currently not taxed on it.
Especially if it was a wallet that you had laying around like from years ago when the first Bitcoin boom happened. Because it's probably worth a little bit more than you expect right now. And
yeah, there's
you might
going
as well cash out.
There's going to be nefarious and slimy type blockchains or whatever they're called that are going to turn it into cash for you. But they're going to become one, they're probably going to charge you a hell of a fee if they're doing it illegally. And two, they're probably going to come and go a lot because they're going to be shut down as fast as you possibly can. Trust me. Nothing motivates the government like billions of untapped tax dollars.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate their ability to actually go after it.
It's funny that you mentioned the cash out thing, because yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. I had like $5 left in Coinbase, like from way back during the 10 series era. And then I checked and I was like, oh cool, $60. I'll pull it out. Drone ports. That was pretty much what I, yeah, I was just like, I mean, I don't want to leave it there. Cause
but if you had waited, that $60 might have turned into 42.
And that, you know? Yeah, or it could have turned into 500.
Because what we don't know,
that's what the people investing think.
So, yeah, and I can tell you right now, the IRS of the United States is investing a lot of money into the technologies of tracking this and regulating it and all that sort of stuff. How long it'll take to get online, I don't know. We also don't know necessarily if they're going to be taxed as capital gains because it's considered an investment, or if they're going to be taxed as income at a standard income rate. Either way, it's going to suck.
I feel like it would make more sense as a capital gains tax because it's similar to a stock. You know what I mean? In that, like,
and those are taxed at a pretty high rate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Capital gains, I mean, you don't pay the Social Security and the Medicare and all the stuff on it, but you pay a higher
rate
on it.
It's like 30-40%, something like that, right?
It's thereabouts. Pretty big,
yeah.
Thereabouts.
So like, yeah, like the exact
it's
same.
Probably got a scale, but still.
It's like the same thing. Like, you know what I mean? Say like, all hypothetical numbers, but you buy an Apple stock for $100 and then they freaking invent the iPhone 10 million or whatever, and it goes through the roof, and then you pull it out and you're like, oh cool, I just made like $900. It's like, no, you made about $600, you know what I mean? Because you're going to have to pay $300-ish in tax. And, you know, that's where the Bitcoin people are like, oh, they don't tax that, but they're probably going to, and it's probably it's probably going to be the same
and that's why
like, amount.
And that's why it's starting to tank. And that's why I think what...
It did this, and then it did that, and then it did this again in, like, the last 2 days. It's been insane.
Well, yeah, because you're getting massive... massive sell-off.
Yeah.
Which is normal, because once something sells off massively, people that believe and are definitely dedicated to it, they're like, oh, it's going to go back up. So they want to buy it when it's low. And so every time that happens, you know, and then it shoots up again.
Yeah, here's the week. There is that. That was when we made the
video. That was the day they made the announcement that they were going to go after taxation.
And then like all those like China banks stopped taking it and that sort of stuff. Yeah. And then it bounced back a little bit. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a freaking roller coaster.
And it's Friday. Everything drops on Fridays.
Yeah. All markets, right?
Right. And then Mondays always open at a gain because everybody buys on Mondays. It's weird. But, I mean, so my issue with cryptocurrency is just the fact that right now it feels like a Wild West gold rush. It's like a modern digital gold rush.
That's definitely how I felt back in the first Bitcoin boom when I started mining, and I was like, hey, free games for doing nothing but warming my room. You know, I was like, that was a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah.
And you know, going back to like the mining thing for a little bit, for me, it always just like, I get sad when I see a card that's never going to see a video game.
Yeah.
In its life. Like, that's what, you know, and like you said, like, it doesn't bother you when, you know, Joe Random, you know, who starts mining because they're at work.
That's never bothered me.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's just like, hey, I'm at work. Might as well let my GPU go to work too, because I'm not going to be playing Rocket League on it right now, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that same philosophy. And yeah, I agree with you in that, like, I don't see anything wrong with that.
It was just weird to me how random guys could just pull a currency out of thin air and then it takes off and becomes an actual thing.
And like you were talking about, like, it's only worth it because other people say it's worth it. And
well, yeah.
But
like, yeah.
What you were saying, though, that's what makes me so skeptical about it, because it came out literally out of thin air.
Yeah,
but do you remember the early stories in Bitcoin? How
it came out of a lot of coal-fired electricity.
Do you remember the early Bitcoin stories where like these people that owned the companies that were doing the exchanges and stuff were just like taking people's money and just splitting with it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Back in the super early days, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, millions of dollars would just like poof.
Sure,
gone.
We'll refine your gold. He's running away with a bag of gold, basically.
Yeah,
it's like the internet equivalent of that.
I mean, things have become a little bit more structured since then, obviously. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's again, I've seen people argue like it's not a real currency. I'm like, well, don't just pump the brakes there for a second. If you can buy something with it, it's a currency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
and you're buying and selling dollars or whatever your local fiat currency actually is.
I mean, I guess if you were to do a currency equivalent of this, it's like taking U.S. money and buying a whole bunch of new Taiwanese dollars and then hanging on to the new Taiwanese dollars because you believe their value is going to go up, so you can exchange it back into U.S. dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
Only you're doing it with electricity.
Yeah. And the other difference is that the currency is not a government like regulated.
And of
currency.
Course, that's what the government hates about it.
Yeah,
and that's what so many people love about it. That's why I said there's nothing more polarizing than the idea of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, a free currency.
Yeah, it's like the anarchist. The it's like the anarchist
yeah, really,
dollar.
Yeah, you're right. It is literally an anarchoin.
But like anything else, you get these investment firms and these companies that are just like, well, what are people doing? What are the young kids doing today? They got this cryptocurrency thing. So, well, we should buy that. You know, and that's where we are now. Where now it's you've got the miners.
Yeah.
Not the kids, the miners. that are, you know, digital pickaxes mm-hmm. that are out there mining the coins, and then you've got the big money backing it, just buying and selling it on the side.
I think that's why I never got it interested on the investment side. I was always just like, you know, if anything, I'll mine, because like, why buy?
Yeah.
Like I remember you asking me earlier, like offline, we were talking about it, and you were like, you know, what experience do you have with Bitcoin? I was like, well, I've spent $0.00 on Bitcoin. I've only mined it. I spent the money on the electricity, but you know what I mean? Like, that's, right. You know, that's the only time I've ever had Bitcoin.
But see, that idea, going back to the electric vehicles thing, is why people need to dig deeper into it.
Yeah.
Because you just said you spent nothing on creating it, but there was money spent on creating it.
Yeah, exactly.
It.
Yeah. And like when I cut Nick off earlier, saying that it's coal.
How dare you, sir?
It's coal-fired. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Bitcoin is coal-fired or nuclear or whatever, but mostly coal-fired. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So instead of, you know, sticking with all of this newfangled crypto blockchain Bitcoin-y stuff.
I like the crypto chains.
Yeah, let's take it back a little bit. Do you guys ever miss anything from like older technology, like the simpler times?
Because paper money.
as if money disappeared.
Well, didn't Vsauce do an entire thing about the amount of digital currency floating around versus the actual cash backing it is like so ridiculously upside down? To where everyone cashed in their
paper money is also that way, right? Like, we don't have actual enough gold. Yeah. In no, he the did.
Vsauce did a great video about it, and it was basically like, if everyone that had digital money suddenly cashed it in for cash, that there would not be anywhere close to enough actual back.
Isn't that what happened in the Great Depression? Not digital currency, but like,
yeah,
like
the first everyone, the crypto the great crypto crash of 2012. No, 2012. No, 1912. 2012 seems like that long ago.
Oh, but yeah, no, isn't that what happened? Like, everyone tried to cash out, and the banks were like, we can't. Like, we literally don't have enough money.
And they didn't even have digital banking back then.
Yeah.
With the digital balance that says you have this much money.
Yeah.
They had literally had charger plates and, like, physical things they swiped,
note. Is, like, that's what caused, like, the economic crash, was because everyone suddenly got scared and tried to cash out, and then there wasn't enough cash to cash out everyone.
Yeah, that's happened during major wars, too, in other countries, where a currency just completely loses its backing, and the paper, it's not worth the paper it's printed on.
Yeah. Because it's
like, remember the dollar bill itself is only a reserve note.
Yeah, it says the like you can turn this in for $1 worth of
gold.
Whatever. Yeah, of gold. Yeah.
Yeah,
whatever the standard is. Yeah.
Has anyone ever tried to actually turn their money into gold? Be like, I want my gold, please.
How much?
Here's your couple of flakes. There you go.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how much is a bar? Because you'd have to buy it by the bar, right?
Well, isn't the bar like $47,000?
I don't know. I've never tried to buy a gold bar before.
I don't know. I'll check mine when I get home.
Imagine you just walk into work and stop.
Phil, need to catch up. I'll check mine when I get home. I've got small, medium, and large bars.
Jesus.
I just hate the way they pull my pants down when I put them in my pocket.
You imagine paying? Yeah, you're all just like, can you cut off like this much of it?
You have to measure it or weigh it out.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Well, I mean, that's why they had coins. They started making coins, right? Because a gold coin was actually worth its gold.
Yeah.
It's literally weight in gold. That's where the phrase comes from, right? And so we moved away from that because obviously our dollars are not made of gold.
What were shillings made out of? Or doubloons?
Shill? Double?
Dibs. No. tech I actually missed, though, is physical copy of games because it had to be complete when it shipped.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking like operating systems that let you do what you wanted to without bugging you constantly about security and stuff.
Which, pre-internet OS.
Yeah, or like turn of the internet OS. Like turn of the century OS really was, you know what I mean? Like Windows 98, Windows XP really kind of didn't bug you. XP added UAC, but you could turn that off really quickly. But
damn clippy in that Vista, though.
It looks like you're writing a document. Do you want to save it?
Yeah.
No, I'm just practicing.
Just practicing. I think for me to... Oh, it's kind of piggybacking off of yours, but I really miss expansion packs because they were actual expansions.
Yeah. And again, they came on a disc. And like you know, once you were done with a game, you go, hey, can I borrow your copy?
What was the last physical copy game that you owned? Like you had the discs for it.
Crisis 1. Or Crisis 1 or Battlefield 2, one of those. It was around the
same time. That was the last one you owned?
Yeah. I think I went full steam after that, pretty much. Full steam ahead.
I don't even remember.
I still have my original Counter-Strike disc somewhere.
I just thought it was funny that it said PC DVD on it. It was just like,
well, I had to differentiate from the CD-ROM because remember, if it was a DVD, it wouldn't work in CD-ROM.
What was the biggest game? Like, how many? What was the biggest in amount of discs games that you had, counting floppies?
Battlefield 2.
Battlefield 2 was two CDs, right?
No, but the Special Forces pack, the Armored Fury pack, like
forgot about all the other expansions.
Yeah, all the expansions.
So you have like a stack of Battlefield.
I have them at home. Yeah,
dude, that's
yeah.
Sick.
Battlefield 2 was a big one.
Oh, and The Sims.
Not Battlefield 2. Sorry, Battlefield original Battlefield as well.
The Sims.
Flight Sim, Flight Sim 98.
Oh,
it had like eight or nine floppies.
Floppies?
Oh, now, in terms of actual byte size, it's small.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like physical media, because it's funnier that way. Yeah, I think. Jeez, I think Descent was like three or four floppies, something like that.
Now, the last physical copy of anything I've owned is actually World of Warcraft expansions.
That's pretty cool.
So I think...
I would keep those around literally just as many.
No, I still have them all somewhere.
That's dope.
With the special edition boxes and two as well. But
I think you get world maps and stuff back in the day.
I want to say Wrath of the Lich King was the last physical copy of anything I've owned. Now, I still have all my physical copies. They're in storage.
That's cool.
I still have them. And I have Crysis 1 and Crysis 2 on physical copy.
That was kind of my beef with, like... Yeah, that's still my beef, actually. Because, like, the collector stuff was really cool. I like getting that for, like, at least the Halo series and Gears of War.
I mean, they still make collector stuff, but it's just funny because you get a download ticket.
Yeah, I like a statue or something, but, like... Oh, my God. I tried getting the Cyberpunk one. That was, like, nowhere to be found.
Titanfall did one, too.
Yeah, I got
that. Oh, yeah, you got the pilot helmet. That was... Yeah, that looked sick. But yeah, but I mean, going back to our point, it's that like all of those, you get all the cool accessories, but the actual game in the copy is just a little ticket that says, enter this code into Steam, and then you can download it. It's like not the game anymore, and you can't lend the game to people, which is kind of why I still like consoles every once in a while, because, I borrowed my friend's copy of Final Fantasy VII Remake, and that was a totally normal thing, and you can't do that with PC games anymore. I can't just borrow somebody's...
You can still do it with console games, but...
Yeah, exactly, which makes it still fun.
That's the only reason that, GameStop even still exists.
Yeah.
To any degree of existence, by the way.
Yeah, physical media was...
Remember EB Games?
Yeah.
In the mall?
Yeah, right in Ontario Mills. I used to go there all the time.
EB or was it KB Toy Store?
KB Toy Store was a good... Yeah, it was a good solid. Because Toys R Us always had a crap video game selection.
did any of you guys remember Software Etc.?
Yeah, okay. I think I was too young to convince my mom to go in there. But
yeah, it was in the Inland Center Mall. Yeah. And then before that, I was an original shopper with my dad at Egghead. You remember Egghead?
No.
Was that pre-Newegg?
Oh, God, yeah. Egghead and Newegg are not related.
Oh, okay. I always thought Newegg was just the... like they,
no, you know I don't know why they called it Newegg, but Egghead and Newegg are not related. Hmm. Egghead was just... it was funny, too, because they looked like a little Einstein. It looked like an egg-shaped face with a head. And it had like an Einstein hair on it.
I feel like I vaguely remember it, but that was definitely pre-Phil era.
Yeah, and you would walk in there and you would smell like the smell of like a computer store with all the packaging, like the software
and
books
all the
and
disc
stuff.
Cases had a smell. That plastic. And the specific plastic that
and it filled the whole room would smell that way. Those are smell memories that as a kid I'm like, man, most people today don't even get to experience that. Mm-hmm. I don't get to experience that at all.
And like the Blockbuster cases.
Yeah, like Blockbuster had a smell.
Yeah, it was like a cheap plastic smell. Yeah.
Plastic and popcorn.
Plastic and popcorn.
That was basically
plastic
it.
Popcorn.
You're right. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I remember the Blockbuster days.
And see, again, that goes back to physical media, right? Like, how are you going to rent a download?
Rent a download?
You wouldn't download a rent.
Imagine if you went to rent a game from Blockbuster and you put it in, and it's like, sorry, this game's already been registered. Another console.
See, which is funny though, because like renting downloads would be so easy to implement, but it's like just a thing that no one does anymore because they just decided we're just renting is done.
Did you hear on the news not that long ago about the woman that found out she had a felony out of another state because of a non-returned
Blockbuster?
Yeah, it was Blockbuster, but it was
the Blockbuster police.
The teenage witch. What was Sabrina?
Oh, Sabrina?
Yeah, apparently back in like the 90s, a boyfriend that she was living with had used her Blockbuster account to rent a tape or whatever, a Sabrina the Teenage Witch for his daughter, and never returned it. And then she found out when she went to like apply for something that I think it was for a passport or something, that she was a felon, that she was found guilty.
What?
And it was funny. I wonder, they sent it to the district attorney and everything, and they were like, yeah, we're going to drop this charge. But she was like, it makes sense as to why two jobs I had in the past that I really liked, they just randomly let me go. Because they probably did a background check. Because it was called, the charge actually showed up as, no, what do you think the charge was?
What?
Embezzlement.
What?
Yeah.
How?
You guys can find this online.
That's
look up,
hilarious.
Look up woman charged by Blockbuster for not returning movie. And you guys will find the article. But the actual charge that she was found guilty of was embezzlement.
You know that? You know that
so
meme?
Imagine like suddenly like, we hire someone. Like, and you come up later like, yeah. Embezzlement? Oh, yeah. So, you know, things have been kind of sad lately. So we're going to have to let you go. You know, we're not making the money we used to anymore, you know.
Jeez.
That's kind of what she experienced.
You know the meme where it's like in jail and then like it's like the big buff dude. He's like, so what are you in for? I rented Sabrina Teenage Witch 12 years ago. Oh, get away from me. Oh, crazy. No.
I rented Sabrina the Teenage Witch and I never returned it.
Yeah. Ooh, maniac. And he's all like, the buff guy's like hiding in the corner from the dude in the south.
I imagine he'd be like, white folks is crazy. That's what I imagine.
Oh, yeah, seriously. Oh, that's freaking funny.
Yeah, that was it was one of the random like news article MSN news articles that was recommended, and I was like, I was reading, I was like, this can't be. I was like, they didn't actually charge her, right? And the district attorney though officially had to dismiss the case, which is funny because she was already found guilty of it.
Yeah.
So now you need a record to be expunged.
Whack.
For all over a tape.
A tape she didn't even rent.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably for the better though that the rental stuff hasn't come back, because I don't think today's generation would return it in like decent fashion.
They definitely wouldn't rewind their DVDs, I can tell you that.
The cartridge will not be clean enough for you to play.
You're right.
Yeah, that's true. And Blockbuster, remember how they used to charge a rewind fee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was like $1.50 or something, right?
So I had a rewinder at home that
the red race car?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's funny. And it's funny because I know how many people watching this right now don't even know about VHS.
Yeah, like half of the chat just went, what? And then the other half was like, yeah, I had it too.
Yeah, I had the race car rewinder. The problem is the rewinders are supposed to know when they're reaching the end of the tape and slow down. I remember it was just, and this was one of our episodes, our tapes of the Goonies. Now, my sister and I have worn the Goonies out on not only VHS multiple times, but DVD as well.
Okay? Wait, really? Yeah. Oh, like you just scratched it over time?
Enough wear and tear on it.
That's
right?
Funny. Wow.
But the thing was like, it was one of the first times that we had to replace our Goonies tape, because we'd watch it like every other day. I remember it was just like, the tape was like, it was just flapping around.
Because ours failed the same.
Yeah. It was just like, oh no.
And the worst part was, it was like my dad told me to rewind inside today. And I was just, Dad, I don't know what's happening. And it's just tape just spraying everything.
The other thing that people probably don't have the luxury of ever experiencing is going to be the whole like, okay, I've been wanting to watch this show. I recorded it. You got the VCR to work and you recorded it and everything. You get home and you push play and it starts going. You're like, no, no, no. You push eject. And it's like tape coming out everywhere. And you're like, no.
Oh, that. Yeah, I've had that happen.
There's
to me.
No.
Or the worst. Or yeah. Or like you record onto a tape that you know is a little too old and you should probably get a fresh tape. But then, you know, you go back.
Or
to
in my case, your mom ends up being a contestant on The Price is Right and makes it all the way to the Showcase Showdown. And I taped over it with I Love Lucy.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, my mom was on the show The Price is Right back in the 80s. Bob Barker still had black hair.
Wow.
No, she won the price thing, and then she won the spin the wheel, and then she made it all the way to the end, and I'm purposely overbid because she didn't want the jet ski. I would have liked the jet ski, but she didn't want the jet ski. But she made it all the way to the end of the episode, and
fair,
I taped it over.
To be fair, you guys could have just popped the tab to make it right protected, but...
Look, I believe it was like 1989. That would have made me 8. Okay?
Yeah.
So I remember I was just like, oh, we've already seen this. Recording over it. Having no like idea of how cool that would be.
It didn't occur to you that the recording doesn't just like... add more, it overwrites.
Now, if I knew like what season and episode it was, I'm sure we could find it in some archive.
Yeah,
but I have no idea.
Yeah,
and if I ask my mom these days, she's gonna be like, "I was on The Price is Right." You know, I mean, no, I'm serious. You know, age does a thing to a person.
Yeah,
I mean, the most I can remember at rewriting over a VHS was we had a recording of Back to the Future 3. But like right towards the end or something, it cut to a Wings documentary.
Oh my gosh, I missed that show, dude.
Wings, that was about the airport in Alaska, right?
No, Wings, like the Discovery show about airplanes.
No, I was thinking the sitcom Wings.
Oh no. Like I
really dated myself now.
I liked both, but I like they kind of just like
that's
oh I
so
tried
funny.
Recording already.
That's hilarious.
That's like taping the big game and then like it's a game winning field goal that's up in the air. And suddenly it's like, psh, do 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 do.
My dad taped over my the home video of my first communion. my mom was pretty pissed about that.
Yeah, you didn't live up to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't confirm it either. So, for all the Catholics out there, yeah, no, I didn't do confirmation because, yeah.
Nick
I
said,
mean, you can tell. You can tell.
No, why. You're the one drinking water. You're going to turn that water into wine?
How do you know I haven't already?
Oh, it's clear wine, huh?
It's vinegar.
It's fermented. He went too far.
Oh, no.
He almost ruined that sure.
No, because Nick is referencing that vine of, oh, that's vodka. I like your style. It's vinegar. What? It's vinegar. And if you guys know that vine, there's a hilarious word at the end of it. So go look it up.
I know. Where's the eagle hip?
Yeah, you didn't exactly. Say it. You just,
No, I don't want to say it.
It counts if you implied it.
Oh. What? No, my top lip. I got shot by Nick in the bottom lip and in the top lip.
That was a good throw.
Stop aiming for my face. Jeez.
It almost bounced in my whiskey.
Oh, jeez.
Awkward silence. Yeah, this is what carries the show.
Well,
I had a burp. So sorry.
You're also
just let it go into the mic.
No.
I mean, this looks like an alcoholic cactus cooler.
Hey, Jay, we should just, like, stop talking until we figure out whose turn it is next.
Oh!
Dude, his reaction. Yeah.
We were doing so good today, too.
I know. We were, like, our segues were smoother than an actual segue.
We looked at him, and he's just like...
I was like, wait, what's going on?
Learn to podcast.
Why guys? Yeah.
Like silver 2 in podcasting.
No, not even. I'm like bronze, bro.
wood 3.
No, he's still placing.
Supersonic wood.
So I'm going to kick off this week's tech tips because it's not rants.
And remember, this is our RTFM tech tips. Not to be confused with Linus tech tips. Ours are actually useful. Go ahead.
Personal tech tip of mine is for when you're on Spotify is to like the song that you're listening to if it's like on a radio station. And then when you get back home later, just form it into a playlist.
That seems so, like, duh. But sometimes I think people need a reminder of duh. Yeah.
A lot of that,
how easy it is to hit like on this podcast. Because, there's no reason why we should have this many people in here and such few likes.
Good segue. That was great.
Well, like, Spotify, if you like it, it actually builds a playlist of like songs, which is nice. But so you just go through that and sort everything out. And then
what kind of playlist do you have on your phone? On your Spotify?
I have like 26.
Do you have the RTFM show in the podcast section?
That's in my podcast that I subscribe to, but I make the podcast, so I don't really listen to that playlist.
I listen to the podcast right now.
I think I'm the only one of the three of us that will listen back to the entire podcast so I can take notes on what needs to change or be improved or removed, and et cetera.
That's because you're Jay.
You're the executive producer.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, no, executive producer just pays for the stuff. He's actually the producer.
He's all of the above.
I think it's funny that they call it
executive. I am tech god.
I think it's funny that they call it executive producer because you don't really...
They're just the money.
They provide you with the means to execute.
Yeah, they're just the money. And their name has to be there.
Yeah.
And executive means higher than the thing without the word executive in front of it. So. Yeah.
It would be rude to put the title, the wallet.
Yeah, wallet producer.
The
check
wallet.
Producer. Yeah.
Check producer.
Check producer. Loan signer. Jeez.
All right, so mine is pretty simple. Keyboard shortcuts. You guys always yell at me when I do Control Alt Delete and then click Performance. You guys, why'd you just do Control Shift Escape? It takes you there right away. And it's because old habits die hard.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say you're hanging out at home and you're by yourself, maybe wanting some entertainment. You're not sure where to look, but you find yourself on a site that might verify your age before you go in there.
Does it start with a P?
No, it starts with many things, actually. But let's just say you happen to find yourself on some video sites and you just want your privacy. Maybe you forgot to lock the door or someone comes home suddenly and you just want everything on the screen to go away as fast as possible. Now, it's not going to mute your system. But if you do Windows key D, which is just funny that it's D, it will minimize everything on your screen.
That's it? That's all it does?
Okay. Yeah, but the audio will still play. So I would recommend headphones, which then sucks because it makes it easier for people to sneak up on you, I guess. But
open back.
There used to be a gag product, like a USB red
irony
button.
Of you using that word, sir.
Oh, sorry. Like a joke product.
So you're apologizing to him. It's funny.
He said, oh, sorry.
Well, like...
Hey!
Stop!
I forget. Don't touch my buttons. I'm the executive producer.
I'm still talking. Okay.
Fine, go ahead.
He has the talking ball.
It was a USB.
You were talking until I muted you. All right, go ahead.
A USB, red button that like pulls up a spreadsheet when someone walks into the
room. Oh, that's funny. I've seen a foot pedal version of that, so it's even more discreet.
Oh, is it just like a little USB device that you can map it as a macro? Yeah.
I still got to bring in my giant foam enter button, because then that'll be funny to script.
It's like, I can imagine here. Nick, you okay in there? Yeah, Mom, just doing some Extreme Excel.
Extreme Excel.
Spread Excel.
Spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets. Shut up. I poured myself like six fingers here.
Ooh, bummer.
You're all counting. There.
I poured that, okay?
Some fistful. Literally a fistful of alcohol. It's amazing.
So it's Windows D. All right.
Windows D. He's right. He's like writing it down.
Well, yeah, because you don't have any walls in your computer room.
That computer is strictly...
That's his fault. That's your fault for putting your setting up your setup there.
That is a no fun zone computer.
No fun zone.
It might be different on your Android tablet, dude. It's probably a different shortcut for that.
Pro tip, get a tablet.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
Makes all the bathroom door has a lock.
Oh, jeez.
That really went off topic.
I wonder sort why. I mean, you didn't really go off topic. It was your topic, but... okay, so my tech tip is if you want two folders on two of the computers that you own, or three of the computers, or four, or however many computers you want to own, check out Resilio Sync. It's, I mean, we use it a ton, and you can tell about how reliable it is.
Not to cut you off, but RR1901 said Excel Hub.
I have to check it out.
Their Excel videos.
I wonder if there's a site for that. Like,
it's just a whole website of dirty spreadsheets.
Yeah. Just like really,
it's like ASCII art, like
like really well done spreadsheets.
That was how you did it back in the day.
How do you like to pivot your table?
Oh, yeah, show me your formulas, babe.
How many pages can you do at once?
Oh my gosh, they're all two, center
oh,
aligned.
It's a two page. Oh,
nobody clip this and send it to my wife, please.
Well, that didn't help.
I mean, do it.
Wait, does YouTube even have clipping?
They always seem to have a way to do it.
I
so
mean, well, yeah, they could just download the.
And they always seem to have it on my Twitter before the stream is over. So somehow they rewound a live stream.
Huh?
Is it shadow play?
Maybe.
Could be shadow play. That'd
what kind of weird. A sick person would be shadow playing our podcast?
Yeah, that's like literally that's taping our podcast.
Hey, copyrights, people.
he's gonna go and pop the tab on your VHS so you can't write to it. Yeah. And then rewind it in his broken rewinder.
All right, so you were talking about how to sync stuff.
Yeah, if you just want two folders on your computer, you want the stuff in that folder to be the stuff in the same folder on every other computer that's synced, check out Resilio Sync. RESILIO, and then just the word sync.
Well, that's how we do it.
Yep.
So our server, which is running that one Unraid, that one Linus chilling one, the Unraid, yeah.
The one thing with the disks and the stuff.
Yeah. Linus gave us a key. He's a very nice guy. Yeah. Anyway, our Unraid server syncs to my home computer and your computer at work.
Yeah, we have
at your apartment.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because sometimes I hope that it's on your computer already. That way when I get it home, I'm getting it from my the crappy upload here.
Yeah, so
and the crappy upload at your home.
Yeah, ironically, our uploads are all better than the upload here.
Yeah,
which is dumb. But anyway, yeah, that's another one of the positives of it, is it uses BitTorrent as the transfer protocol. So, like, I thought you were muting me.
No, I was muting me. I was coughing.
It was like, hey Jay, this video is ready to go. Or whatever, you know, you can upload it from home, and it's like, cool. If I keep my computer on at home and then the server is always on here, and then, you know, I have, you know, somebody else, like say we added Nick's thing to it, you know what I mean? Then Jay's computer, when it goes to sync, is going to pull from every source at the same time. So it's getting triple the upload or the download speed and that sort of stuff. But it's also, and they have an app for the phone too. So it's a really easy way to get, you know, like files like, hey, I want to just throw this MP3 on my phone because I want to text it to a friend or something like that.
Sometimes I'll text you and be like, hey, I need you to sync this file, and you're not even home, and you'll do it from your phone.
Yeah, you can move files around and that sort of stuff too. Yeah. Or you know, I use remote desktop a lot.
But it's completely free.
Yeah, that's what's awesome.
What is there a storage limit? Or
No, it's
not
how
big your disk is.
It's
computers though, you have to think about that. Like if you sync a 100 gigabyte file and it goes to your laptop that has like a 120 gig SSD.
All that happens is it generates a key. That any computer that logs in to that folder with the key is now considered networked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then what it does is it syncs, and it makes sure that everything is the same on all of them.
Gotcha. I was thinking it was like Dropbox or something.
No, it's not a storage cloud. I mean, our server over there, which has, how many terabytes have that?
A lot.
56?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, 56.
Which 60. I think we're starting to fill up, huh?
We're at like 30% capacity.
30%. Oh, we're fine.
Yeah. But I mean, it's so impressive that we've generated that much crap.
Literally, we
some
have
of
like
it is not crap. There's some cool.
Yeah, literally, we have like what 20 terabytes of just stupid videos on there.
Yeah,
the biggest blooper reel ever.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, you can go sort through all that footage. I'm not doing it. That's
for the record,
the assistant editor job is for.
For the record, people have told me that they really miss our blooper reels.
Yeah,
start putting the bloopers at the end. I haven't done anything funny lately.
No, I mean, realistically, that is a lot. That is part of it. Like, I can't fake a blooper out of nowhere, so.
Yeah.
You can't force
bloopers. Jay, do something funny. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
That's how people think we make our videos, but, yeah.
Yeah, I've actually seen some people like, I hate the bloopers because it seems so fake. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, no, Jay didn't hit himself in the head with his pipe for no reason. Like,
or did I? Maybe I'm a better actor than you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's all right. Funny. So we're going to go ahead and move into the FTFA section. That's from the freaking audience. That's where we take your short, concise email. Every single week, I have to remind you guys, short, short, short emails. I opened some today that had to scroll. And if I have to scroll, I can't read your email on the air. So send it to rtfm@jstucents.com, not my other emails. And we'll take your good questions and ones that we think will make good topics for us to talk about. And this week we have a few of them. So the first one is, so he doesn't think I'll be able to pronounce his name. I think I've got it, though. I believe it's Musad from Kuwait.
It's Mustard from Kumquat.
Jeez.
He did say have fun pronouncing those words, so I'm having a little fun. What about you, Nick?
Before you send me hate mail,
yeah,
he said, hey, this is Musad from Kuwait. Have fun pronouncing those words. Yeah. What was your favorite PC build?
PC build that you've made?
I maybe all three of us. I mean, you've built computers, right? No, you've only built computers with me, huh?
I built a couple computers.
Is it PC build? Like, yeah, I see what Nick's asking. Like, is it? Does it have to be a build that you have built, or can it be somebody else's build?
I think just okay. Fine. What's your favorite PC?
It's a toss up between your D frame.
You would like my D frame
and Symbiote.
Symbiote was fun because that was when I really went against the grain.
I'm going to be a little biased and pretty obvious, but Sasha, obviously, the SFF PC that Jay built me, that I've been kind of slowly throwing different parts and stuff on.
How dare you, sir? Are you selling those parts I gave you?
I added... Oh, my God.
Oh, boy, God.
I just walk in with, like, a Rolex. It's like, do you still have that 30?
I'm gaming on a 760 now.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, well, why? No
budget
reason.
Cuts.
No reason. I'm
3080
just,
broke.
Like, hiding this... Just all these chains randomly.
Oh, I don't think they even know. I gave you a 3080 for Christmas because that video I gave you a 28 Super.
Yes.
And then you gifted that to a friend.
Yeah, and I, like, I mean, you could tell them how, like, shocked I was. I was like...
Well, I did the box thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I basically opened the box and I was like, he actually did it.
So I wrapped the Founders Edition box in paper and put it in another bigger box.
Yeah.
And so he opened it and he was like, Jay, you suck!
Yeah.
I was out here. Yeah. He said, you suck! And I was like, what? He's like, you didn't. And I was like, yeah. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And he was like, no, you can't put it back on the shelf. And I was like, okay, fine. I mean, I'm not going to say no, but you know, it's just like, dude, come on. But yeah. Yeah, no, obviously I'm biased towards that build because it does have custom front panels and stuff that, like, you know, we kind of collabed with the dudes that did
Mod Mods,
right? Yeah, that did the CNC cutting and that sort of stuff. So, like, it's always builds like that where there's at least, like, a little bit of customization where it's like you can say, this is the only one that has this because I wanted it. You know what I mean? And that's always fun to
Trying to pick my favorite build is like... Which one of your kids do you love most?
I mean,
you
know? But also Black Ice and Nebula were pretty dang fire.
Yeah, they were, but they weren't themed. They were just clean builds.
Yeah,
right?
It's like, this is a PC. That's a theme. It's just basically gaming PC.
I could name so many builds. I mean, every iteration of Skunkworks was fun. It's just that era sort of needed to move on, and I had to get into other things and stop using the SM7B. Or, no, that's a microphone. The SM8. SM7B, SM8.
Yeah.
Similar, right?
The Smite.
The Smite.
Smite.
As the big case, Smite. All right, so, D-Frame was actually one of my least favorite.
Really?
Which is funny about that. The thermals were terrible in that.
The irony, it's air, it's open.
But the radiator was on the bottom, so it had a lot of hot air that made its way through.
That's pretty
that
funny.
Affected a lot of things. And it's just the fans that were used on it didn't move a lot of air. It just, convection didn't work well.
I just saw a chat, like, hey, 760 gang, so the 760 gang's rising up. We see you, heck yeah, dude.
I really enjoyed the Destiny 2 build.
Yeah.
And which led to the Star Wars build, which to me, the Star Wars build is very minimal modding. That's just the blaster holes and stuff in it. But the painting on it really got to showcase my skill in like distress painting and you know, shippery and stuff like that.
And it was like, it's so nice to have a theme because you get to throw everything, you get to adapt everything that you know towards some, you know, this like specific goal of like making it look like it exists in another universe, which is really cool.
Yeah, anybody that looks at that knows immediately that it's a Star Wars themed computer.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty popular at DreamHack. People were just walking past us gaming and then like doing double takes and like, oh, whoa, that is the, you know what I mean? So,
well, because a lot of people didn't, the fire effect in the blaster holes with the LEDs that we really programmed didn't really translate on video very well, but in person it looked really good.
Yeah, especially in DreamHack because the lighting was all dim and everything.
Yeah, it was all dark.
Like, oh, is that PC on fire? Oh, cool. Yeah. It was like pretty much the reaction that everyone would do. It was
great. But the thing that sucks about that though is that's mostly a paint job, other than the modding I did to the, excuse me, make the blaster holes look real.
You gotta keep it simple sometimes. That was enough to make it be that awesome.
But that computer only has an RTX Titan in it now, so it's not really all that, you know.
Wow.
I always can't do it. Never do it. Because it's so funny still.
And a 9900K, I mean, come on.
Dude.
You're like the guy in the... Wait, that video hasn't gone live yet. Never mind. the super old stuff.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Videos that haven't gone live yet.
Yeah, I'm talking about the future.
What are you talking about? We make all of our videos in real time. They're all live streams.
Dude, that'd be so easy if it was like that, yeah.
Imagine, like, how much downtime we have for installing operating systems.
Oh, jeez.
Or installing games when the Steam servers decide to be trash.
Or the freaking 100 megabit or the gigabit NIC super sucks and keeps crashing on that motherboard.
There were a lot of people that were upset though that I ditched the Red Dead Redemption 2 build, but again, I wasn't seeing it. I wasn't feeling it. Like, yeah, the mods that did to that box were cool.
Yeah.
But it really was just modding a box and putting a computer in it, which was kind
of
boring.
I think that was a good test of like your exterior woodworking or like weathering on woodwork.
Well, yeah, it's just,
it was a good practice.
The torching effect.
The audience was basically just privy to a prototype.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of prototypes don't make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The engine build right now, I'm not completely happy with. I'm just sort of thinking about some stuff that I want to change on that. I'm thinking a 3D printer is going to be needed to do it the way I really want to. That's why it's kind of on hold at the moment. Which sucks. I want to get that up and going because I want to get the sim rig. I want to get a sim rig going here.
Yeah.
We got the room for a full motion. So.
Oh, yeah. Because Jay has found out about Dirt Rally 2.0 and, you know, that's...
Yeah, what, 2 years fun. Late?
Yeah, but hey, it's all, you it's know, Dirt fun. Rally 2.0.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't even... Dirt Rally 2.0 isn't even a game that I'd be all excited to play on the sim rig. I just want the sim rig up again.
I want
to
see me and Nick just flailing the whole time.
I mean, us having time trials here would be a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
Even live stream, that sort of stuff. But honestly, all of my builds, I can't think of a favorite one. I really can't.
Because they kind of were all your favorite at the time that you built them, right? Because obviously, why would you build it if it wasn't? You're not going to build a computer that, I hate this thing, you know? I'm going to build it because I hate it. Like, that doesn't make
any
sense.
Yeah, no, I stop if that's the case.
Yeah.
You know? All right, moving on here. This is Ian from the UK. He says, hi guys, I love the show and the format you've chosen. You've spoken about debt and the biggest wastes of money. I was wondering if you could be if it would be possible to hear what each of you do with regard to savings and investments. Are you interested in crypto, stocks, etc.? Well, we've already answered the crypto question. Mm-hmm. Nick, do you save money?
I do save money, but...
Do you have like a formula? Like 20% goes in savings or anything like that?
Actually, I do. I saved like a rubric from college. It's basically like how you're going to split up your intake, your income.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of been trying to stick with it most of the time, but my drone addiction kind of lets me go over budget.
Wait.
Lets me go. No.
There's like, no letting, sir. It's just you choose.
I willingly go over budget knowing that I could cut other things down to make up for it.
Okay, you don't have a lot of overhead. So what do you cut down?
Well, like going out, like on the weekends down to OC.
What do you do in the OC?
Jeez.
Jeez.
We eat a lot of food.
Oh.
Imagine eating out. Well, I guess I can't imagine, but eating out so much that you have to budget, like, have to stop it to afford other things.
Well, there's gas too.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Did you get an EV? Okay.
Just borrow your mom's Mini.
I did last time.
That's funny.
Do you invest? Do you have any investments?
Only thing I have right now is...
Do you still have that GameStop investment?
No, AMC.
you still have that
you
one?
Didn't, you didn't hold GameStop?
No.
Dude, paper hands. No kidding.
I didn't buy it to start with, so...
Oh, okay.
Didn't you make $100 like off that one day or something?
AMC?
No, GameStop.
I didn't buy a GameStop. Because I missed that train. I bought into AMC.
Yeah.
I made like $20 on it, but I'm diamond-handing that.
You mean you made 18 because Uncle Sam cough.
Yeah.
You haven't made anything yet.
Yeah. Unrealized gains, right?
Yeah. Unless it's cash in your bank account, you still haven't made anything.
Yeah. The term is unrealized gains.
So, yeah.
Just like my gym.
unrealized gains.
So too long.
I think about working out a lot.
Phil the gym bro.
I think about working out a lot, but you know.
Phil, you're such a meathead.
Too long didn't listen, basically. Savings rubric and just like, what, $100 worth of stonks.
Stonks.
Hey, Phil. Phil, what subs you using, bro?
What subs you using?
Dude,
I buy all of GNC. I even bought their stock.
Yeah, I go to Vitamin Shop, man. You're such a GNC shill.
Yeah, I bought GNC and then my truck got lifted. I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Well, sorry about your pee-pee, bro.
Dude, talk about your pee-pee, Mr. Steroids, bro.
I don't do steroids. This is all natural.
What has happened, Nick?
Nick, let's hear your bro voice. Come on, give me something.
It just doesn't. It just,
you have to have more vocal range than just
air 404.
The bro voice.
Give me a bro voice. Just drop your throat and be like,
"Greetings, brother."
Yeah, whoa, it's a Hulk Hogan.
The best one at it. How do you never do that voice?
Yeah, he's like a Hulkamaniac.
So remember that one time we hopped to the truck?
Remember that one time we went to the store?
I've never heard Nick sound like this.
I've never forced you to do this.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
How high can your voice go?
Oh, no. No. Only during karaoke. I have to be really drunk. Geez.
Yeah, the soju belly as a karaoke.
No, I'm kidding.
Hey, that's mine.
That was the point. Other people's money.
Unrealized gains.
Yeah, no, okay. To summarize mine, it's basically I'm not living paycheck to paycheck, but I'm also not where Nick is. I'm just kind of just winging it for the most part right now and slowly kind of working my way towards like actually, you know, like having a plan for it, basically. But yeah,
5 years ago,
someday I'm gonna have a plan.
I mean, honestly, like I'm doing better than the average American, but not that much better. Basically,
it's like the TikTok. The 5 years. This was me 5 years ago, drinking and doing drugs.
Oh, yeah.
This is me now. I'm still doing the same stuff.
Let me just say that's a choice, then, sir. I know what you make, and you make more than the average American, sir. Yes.
No, I don't.
Start investing. Be responsible. Yeah. Buy cryptocurrency.
That's so risky.
That is not right. You basically said, be responsible. Be irresponsible.
Throw your money away.
Burn it. Burn it so all the people burning coal can take your money.
No, back in 2012, when I started this channel and I saw that it could actually go somewhere, all of my investment money that would have been in the stock market went back into me. I was like, why am I going to invest in other people's businesses and hope they manage the money right and make me money? When I can take full control over my money and make money. So that's just where I'm at.
Basically, you're just going to only want to listen to Jay's answer to this question.
No, because I mean, running a restaurant business and running a YouTube channel are not universally the same in terms of how you manage the money, right?
There's a lot more very variances.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this in videos. I worked a full-time IT job.
Broken Nut Monkey.
Does Jay not offer a 401k? Yes, I do offer a 401k.
Yeah, we didn't say we didn't.
I know, like just randomly.
Jeez, they're all getting like super freaking like.
I know.
God, Jay sucks.
You need to get a Roth IRA right now.
I think I give some damn good benefits. Okay. Jeez.
Like literally, none of us said anything negative about that, and then people are just drawing conclusions.
I know.
Jump your conclusions off a bridge.
Well, I think what he's getting at is if you don't have money in the 401k, then you're not investing.
Yes,
but the 401k was literally established this year. Give me some freaking time, would you? Anyway.
Wait, so that's...
That poor microphone.
Oh, we have to call the people, right?
Okay, first of all, I'm not allowed to give you any sort of information or advice about your 401k. Oh, right. There's a company that handles that for a reason.
Literally asking him like an illegal question on live freaking
I was like,
broadcast.
Hold up.
I can't answer those questions for you. I'm sorry. I offer it. You talk to them about it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right, cool.
Jeez.
My point is...
That was amazing.
My point is, none of my ability to handle the finances of a business like this and the amount of money that it does generate and the amount of responsibility and, you know, expenses it generates wouldn't have been possible without the mindset I changed. We talked a few episodes back about getting out of debt because my debt was astronomical. So getting out of that enabled me to have more financial freedom to be able to really take a chance on being self-employed and running a corporation and whatnot. But there's a way bigger discussion on that we've talked about several, I think it was episode 2, maybe episode 1.
Yeah, it was pretty early in the
Yeah, episode 2 or 1, early, somewhere around there where we talked about it. But no, I do not personally put money like directly into the stock market. Now, my 401k is maxed out. Like I put in the max that you can put in to your 401k, my wife and I as well. And those go into money markets and things like that. Those get handled by other investment firms and stuff that, you know, they make choices on that money that we trust them to make. And of course we make the final decisions, but that's money. That's literally the purpose of it, honestly, is a tax shelter at that point. And that's what 401ks really do help with. They're money for your future. They can generate money while they're sitting in there and you don't pay taxes on the money that's put aside. So there's a lot of benefits to something like
exactly.
That. Wow, that got really deep fast, huh?
Deep. Deep.
Okay.
Oh, my God. How?
And then in terms of savings, there's most of my money is saved. It may not look like it. I'm like, do you know when I drive the AMG? And like, today I'm driving the ZL1. Yeah. You know, my wife's AMG. The reason why we could do that sort of stuff is because I save almost everything. So anyway, Jonathan from Australia says, thank you for making my commute to work bearable with these shows and your other content. Dude, I imagine his commute in Australia would be like, how many things tried to kill him on the way to work that day?
Yeah, how many, like, car-sized spiders tried to kill him?
Car-sized spiders?
That's what they look like to me, dude.
Everything's trying to kill you.
Look out. When you see a sign that says spider crossing, it's like...
It's like, whoa.
It's a four-way with kangaroos and then spiders and then, like, scorpions.
He says, my question, what is the dumbest thing you did in your childhood and you paid the price?
Why'd you look at me?
I
thought you've broken more stuff, I think, than all
of
us.
Well, dumbest thing you've done doesn't have to necessarily mean...
Right. I keep besting myself in dumb stuff that I do.
10-year-old Nick doesn't even have a chance against 30-year-old Nick.
Yeah.
Nick's going for the 100% run on that.
Does anything like come to mind immediately?
No, not for me.
I've got so many stories.
Yeah, I think I was honestly.
And no, pooping myself while eating a baby Ruth while my neighbor mowed his lawn and it falling out of my shorts on his sidewalk is not the story I'm going with.
Oh.
Because, I mean, that wasn't really your choice, really.
I chose to walk past home to go to the Quickie Mart on the corner.
Never mind, it was your choice. Good job.
And I had to go when I walked past.
F. F in chat. Yeah.
Now look, I was 27 then. I learned my... No.
Can you imagine?
I think I was like 13.
He looked like the very marathon runner guy.
I was 12, something like that.
The marathon runner guy. He's like, but I gotta finish.
I don't think... I can't really recall like a really, really dumb situation.
Everything is car sized to fill. No, yeah, that's true. I can't deny that.
I mean, because what? Most of the dumb things that you do, if it's with friends, it turns out to be a really good memory anyways, right?
Well, because it's like it's the paid the price clause that prevents me from telling stories because I didn't really ever pay the price for anything dumb that I did. But I've done a lot of dumb stuff.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
Road trip. I went to Texas with two of my best friends.
You were an adult. He said when you were a kid.
That still counts.
Okay, fine, go.
And at my friend's house, we went to go visit a friend, and at their house they had a soda stream machine, and like the soda maker,
you put
water in it, carbonates it
or whatever.
We had the dumb idea of seeing what carbonated milk would taste like.
Oh god, no. How drunk were you?
We were not drunk yet.
Yet. Oh my god.
Okay, well, I guess the best story
carbonated milk.
God,
how many bubbles were there? Because it bubbles naturally.
I'm lactose intolerant, so that's double disgusting. Now, dude, imagine those farts.
That was
imagine ice cream in out of that.
Oh.
That was all bad.
I can't imagine anything good about that.
Okay, so I do have a dumb story in which I paid the price. I was 16, so I guess sort of maybe childhood-ish, not really. But I lost my keys at the beach, and so I attempted to open the kitchen window, which was a plate glass window, by pushing on it. Because I pushed on it a little bit, and I was like, oh, cool, the latch is getting loose. So if I push on it a little bit more, and then a giant shard of glass went into my hand, came out the other side, and it left a little bit of glass splinters in the hand for about a year or so, in which I still had to get it pulled out after that. So that
did you say they were worried about you severing a nerve or something?
Oh, yeah. No, like when they were pulling the glass out, because they did the... You know,
I could see the scar.
Yeah, you could see the scar. And they were like, they were pulling the glass out, and they were like, oh, you see that? Yeah, that's a tendon. And I'm like, oh, don't do that again. It was basically, yeah.
I think one of my memories that really stands out is when my friend from down the street and I decided to play BB gun war in the backyard.
Oh, yeah, I know this story.
And I was like, okay, we get like 20 minutes to build our forts, and then we're going to like shoot at each other's forts.
One pump only, right?
Well, yeah, okay, I had two Daisy air rifles, and they were very powerful. So that's why I told him one pump only. Now, I was a trained shooter. My dad had taught me how to shoot from a very young age. Because he was a weapons instructor in the Navy. And so I knew how to shoot. He didn't, but so he chose to build his out of plywood, right? We had a bunch of, like, random crap. Like, our backyard is one of those, like, typical black backyards that just has, like, a bunch of random who knows what back there, right? Mm-hmm. So he was pulling out, like, pieces of 2x4s and plywood and all that. I was like, I'm just going to make a lean-to against this fallen down tree, and I'm going to put these lawn chairs in front of it. Now, they're the lawn chairs that had, like, the plastic tubes. Right? That you could, like, stick your hand through?
Yeah.
It doesn't really stop a BB too good, by the way. So I had, like, taken up, like, kind of like a sniper position on the ground behind one of those. And every time he would, like, start to try and lean around to shoot, I would shoot his hand or something. And he got mad, and he pumped it up, like, 15 times. It shot straight through my fort into my face, and I still have a scar right here because I ended up having a BB implanted in my cheekbone for about a year before I finally told my mom what happened and got it removed. It would look like a scratch.
What was your cover story again for
I
your parents?
Okay, so we had a Doberman Pinscher, and she was like a very enthusiastic dog. And she knew how to paw and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes you would tell her paw, and she'd be like real strong with the paw. And I told my parents she scratched me because it started bleeding everywhere. Now, my sister was home during this. She knew the real story. And she was like, uh-oh, if mom and dad find out you got shot in the face on my watch, I'm going to be grounded. So this is the story we're sticking with. So we told that story. And it wasn't until about 9 months later that I was in bed. And I was like scratching my cheek. And I felt like click, click, click. And I was like, what? Something's in there. And I told my mom, like, another cover story. I was like, wait, okay. No, there was two cover stories.
Dang.
So I was like, how am I going to explain the BB in my face, right? So I came up with another story of, like, I had a gear sprocket, a rear gear sprocket from a dirt bike hanging from a tree they used to shoot because it would go ka-pang when I would shoot it. My mom believed me when I said the real story because I didn't want her to take my BB gun. I told her this was the real story.
It's all over the taking of the BB gun.
I literally said, no, kid, just shoot your eye out, right?
Yeah, literally.
So I told her I shot the sprocket, and it came right back and hit me in the face. Then you know what kind of a shot it would have taken to hit a spinning sprocket to come right back and hit you in the cheek?
Yeah.
But she believed me. She took me to the urgent care. They took an x-ray, and then there it was, a BB right in my face.
It's like a bright white dot right there in the middle of the x-ray.
Oh, yeah. It was perfect. But the thing that sucked is when they were like, okay, we'll schedule the outpatient surgery to get it removed, you know. He had to dig a lot deeper than he expected because almost a year had gone by. And it was like time from when that x-ray happened to when they scheduled it, which was like another month or so. Because they were like, well, it's already been 8-9 months, you know. So they started digging and suturing and all that, and I was awake during it. It's just they had like a thing they put on my head and had a little hole. That's all they could see,
weird.
Right? And so I remember kind of seeing through the gap them taking the protractors and like pulling the skin back and stretching, stretching it open and like it holds it.
They have like locking ones. They go and then it holds it open for you.
And he had to do a lot of cutting. And I remember him just saying like, "Oh wow, it's way deeper than we thought." Not only did it go through the muscle, it created a dent, a divot in my cheekbone and landed there, and then the muscle healed over it. So they had to cut through the cheek muscle and everything. What sucked is for the next, like, probably 2 weeks, this whole side of my face was numb.
Yeah,
because they had to cut
the... My scar tissue is still, weird.
Because they had to cut the muscle. So for, like, probably the next 2 or 3 days at school, they would tell me to smile, and I'm like... Like this face,
like, looked like you're having a stroke.
It looked like I had a stroke, and people started making fun of me for that. But no, so that was like
kids are evil, man. Like,
to this day, my mom does not know the real story.
Well,
you know why? My mom's 74 years old, and she would still whip my butt.
I kind of want to see that.
Dude, people are going to like, we're going to afford this to her right now.
Yeah, I have no way to get a hold of her. But yeah, no, she to this day, she still doesn't know the real story.
So that's the scar right there.
That right there, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I thought it healed fully.
That's like, no. What? Not even 2 inches from my
yeah.
eye?
Yeah. That's
I would have lost the eye for sure. And the thing was, if it embedded in the cheekbone, that crap would have went through the eye.
You probably might have died.
Like, maybe.
Because like, if it goes all the way through like yeah, the eye
your
socket,
brain.
Yeah, yeah, there's not much in between that and the brain. So, jeez, dude.
All right, so we got one more we're going to do here. Oh, quick one here. AJ from Iowa, what is your favorite food or culture food? Mine's Italian.
Edible.
Mine's Italian. Fighter. Second is authentic German.
I would probably say... Yeah, Italian's pretty dang good. Japanese, stereotypical, right? Yeah, like a lot of Asian foods.
But you're not Japanese.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, Asian foods in general are freaking awesome. So,
I would say Indian, but that also falls under like Asian dishes as well.
I also very much enjoy Indian food too. So yeah, it really is edible.
My only problem
I like
with
the whole world of food.
My only
it's
problem
great.
With Indian food is more often than not, it's really spicy.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't mind spicy
like
food.
Like, you're like, oh, I'll take mild, and then it's still like...
No,
I don't mind spicy food. I'm not one of those people that's really like, oh, you can't handle spice, you're such a baby. No, I can. It's just sometimes it's like really spicy.
When the rest of the flavors start to take a backseat to the spice, it's kind of like, that's not really what I signed up for. But there are people that love that, though.
Like the chicken your mom made for us that time she invited us over was pretty spicy, but it had a lot of flavor to accompany it.
Yeah.
It was a curry chicken, wasn't
chicken
it?
Chicken curry.
Chicken curry, yeah. So, okay. Last one here is Chris from, I don't know, because he didn't say where he's from. He said, question for all three. What is a useful skill you learned from a previous job you didn't enjoy? For me, it was the importance of good coworkers. We all hated our job, but we got each other through it. Love the show.
Okay, so I'll probably go first. Previous job that I didn't enjoy, it would probably be one of the restaurant jobs.
I don't think people know you used to be in food service.
Yeah. I think just... learning to focus and double down onto the things that are necessary during a lot of like high pressure situations.
Yeah.
Because
that's like triaging your mental status at that point.
Yeah, basically. like triaging your mental status and also the mental status of like the tables that need the stuff, right? And so, you know what I mean, instead of just like kind of, you know, being naive and just going like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4 in order. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, cool. I can grab these drinks and this tray with this other stuff for these three tables that are in that same area, blah, 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 while constantly getting yelled at because I'm getting sat again, even though I'm the only one that's on because these other two servers are on break.
Do you know how many people watching this right now probably can empathize?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And I honestly think everyone should work in a service industry at least once in their life because it really teaches you how dumb
people are,
yeah. And again, yeah, that's another skill that you learn is dealing with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know, how many times have I like asked, you know, hey, what do you want on your hot dog? Everything. And it's like, cool, so you want peanut butter and jelly? I can do that. Like, you know, it's just like, you know, but you learn to deal with that sort of stuff. And so I guess it really is just staying calm under pressure. Because
I loved your, do you care if I tell them where you used to work?
Yeah.
Okay, so you used to work at Johnny Rockets. And I loved your, like, when people were kind of being jerks to you, you would go into your super over the top happy Johnny Rockets voice.
Hey guys, welcome to Johnny Rockets Route 66. It's like whatever, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, no, it was always funny because one, it was just hilarious to me. Because it's trolly, right?
You're like an Office Space. You're like the dude with the 30 pieces of flair.
I'm not doing this.
That was his name, Brian.
Yeah, exactly. I would go into that voice. And I'm not doing this to, you know, the table, any table that slightly pissed me off. It's like, no, it's like the tables that I already know are lost cause.
Yeah.
It's like, they already hate me, right? Like, what's the worst that could happen? They're not going to be like, your server was too happy to me. Like, you know? Like, that's not going to happen. So,
I want to. No, you should work at Dick's Last Resort then.
Oh, yeah,
that's the restaurant where everyone's mean to you. Like, on purpose.
That's
so funny. That's down in San Diego.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Wow.
They will berate you on purpose.
Yeah. Every single person that I've ever worked with in that, like, we've always joked about that being like a heaven. Like,
yeah.
That'd be a dream job if we were staying in
San Diego. It's called Dick's Last Resort.
Low key, as customer service, that would be like the best job. Yeah. Just like, just
could
for
you
like
imagine
a day.
Being getting in trouble for being too mean?
Oh my god!
So basically, oh, my whole family dies.
If you guys have ever seen the movie Waiting, that it's 95% accurate. Just like Office Space is 95% accurate to Office Work.
For me, I would say there's two jobs that really taught me some important skills. One, when I was a FedEx driver, it taught me some serious time management. There's a lot of time management involved. You think you just drive the box to the place and it's like, doesn't work that way. When you've got 220 places you got to get to, you know, not to mention you have to manage appointments, which might be on the other side of town. And the route I had was huge. It was gigantic. It was out in a rural area and it could take me 25 minutes to get from one stop to the next.
That just surprised me because I always thought that it wasn't really the driver's responsibility to manage that sort of stuff.
They didn't give you
So they just gave you, here's your truck full of stuff.
It was a manifest. Here's the stuff.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's take crazy. It to the place. It was a list, and that was it.
Respect your delivery
drivers. And here's the thing. You might see, like, okay, then and they'll be alphabetical order, right? You could choose to have them sort it, whether it was number order, alphabetical order, or whatever. I always chose alphabetical so I could see the streets. But you got to make sure, like, sometimes that may be the same street name, and it's the same street, but the number is on the other side of town, right? Or north or a south.
Oh, right.
So
yeah,
there was
like
a lot of...
West blah, blah, blah avenue, east blah, blah, blah avenue.
I was really good at managing that. But no, my previous job when I used to work in the software industry was I used to go out and do major contract negotiations for re-upping with these major electricity companies, like I mentioned at the start of this podcast. Used to go to PG&E, used to go to Edison, used to go to ComEd out in Chicago, sitting up there on the top of these sky rises with these executives convincing them why they need to spend $60 million on our software. And that was my job, for part of it anyway. And so dealing with the contracts that come this way, it's like, yeah, you know what? This is all small fry stuff. No one needs to be stressing over this. Okay, yeah, chill out.
I think it's like similar. Like, both of us learned how to deal with pressure, like, you know, very professionally like that. Because it's like, yeah, you've seen me and you're like, hey, blah, blah, blah. Like, we have to do these many edits or whatever. And you've seen me literally just be like, cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, dude, I've ran like 20 shakes to four tables at once.
Well, some of the brands that we deal with, man, I'm telling you right now, they're like intern that got hired right out of college. They've got very little experience. Everything's a big deal. They're all freaking out. They're writing us 15 emails because they're all panicking. And it's like, look, chill out. First of all, the dollar amount on this is kind of like chump change. And second of all, it's about the relationships, not about the money. We'll get this done. Everything will be fine. And they're like freaking out. Not about anything we did. It's just because something will go slightly wrong on their end. And I don't know if they've dealt with other content creators. They're just like, oh my God, do you know how much my time is worth? And like freak out on them. But we don't do that.
Do you ever see them relax because of how absolutely. Cool you're taking it? Okay, cool.
Because,
that's awesome.
Yeah, initially for me in the beginning. And then obviously Brian handles all that now. Mm. And Brian's an extremely good guy when it comes to calming people.
Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, that's the end of our show for today.
Can I finish the topic, though?
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Never,
okay, can you? I thought you answered. Wow. Can you? You got like about 30 seconds there, sir.
Oh my gosh!
You got negative 30 seconds.
So mine would be customer service, just overall, because at the paintball place where I used to work at repairing guns, I had to explain why this had to be fixed because people wouldn't get like
they didn't need to fix it. You just wanted to charge them money.
No, like they wanted.
But that's what they believe.
They come in the same day expecting me to fix their gun right before they go play. It's like, there's a whole backlog of stuff I've been working on the whole week. And like, if you want to expedite it, I could tell you how to do it, but I can't do it myself because I have other stuff to do.
So like explaining like intricate stuff to people that are just super not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that can't. Well, you got to replace the solenoid. Cool. Do it. Well, unfortunately, it took 2 weeks to get here.
Well, no, we have parts. It's literally just have to knock out everything before. I can't just prioritize that customer, which carried over.
Yeah, there's so many customers that come in and they just think they're the only customer that's ever ordered anything ever.
Legitimately,
like,
that's carried over into my car job, too. Like, but the car job sucked more because I kind of felt their pain at the same time. So it's hard to be empathetic, but it's like, hey, this is how it is. And especially with international customers, like, I'm just as international as you because I get the parts from Japan. It isn't like I have them in stock if they're special order. Well, but yeah, customer service. That's something I learned.
So does that translate to your job now? Because now you can just basically tell me like, hey, Jay, I'm doing something. Okay, you have to wait.
No,
I've never heard Nick say that.
There has to be a backlog of things to do.
Oh, you mean you flying your drone around isn't a backlog item?
That's easily
his backlog
knocked out.
Is like how many batteries does Jay have on the charger right now? And so like, can I stick my two there?
All right, guys, thanks for hanging out with us this week. That's been the RTFM show, episode seven. Anyway, email us. Email us at rtfm@jasusense.com if you want to be featured on one of our shows. Keep your email short and concise. Don't forget, jasusense.com, new merch is now available, and when it's gone, it's gone. Anyway, anything you guys want to say as we sort of play it out here?
Peace.
Blitz.
Bye.